Thank you very much for coming back, and can I get you back into speed with thinking about DRM? We've talked about the main features of this global, universal, multi-band, efficient standard, and we will continue our journey through the features of DRM, and this time we'll concentrate a bit more on local capabilities of the standard. And we have here Claudio to take us through the 26 mega presentation. Claudio, the floor is yours.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Okay, here is my name. It is nothing important. So let's try. I don't want to kill you with another PowerPoint presentation, so I will try to make something a little different. So if you read here on our memo, there are 3 points where 26 megahertz is cited. So this means that this is a task that has some interest. What is the interest? Let's try to give you what's happened now in this band. This band is a huge band. It is more than 400 kilohertz, and it is practically unused. So this is a receiver analog. Okay, the only one you heard is 26 exactly, that it is the time base of each Wi-Fi network, okay? It was not a station, you believe me. So you heard the sound of white noise. This means that this band is unused. And I can tell you, because also in this radio, there is not this band. It is called 11-meter band. You cannot find it. So even who built the receiver is considering this like a side, nothing important. And I think that people from Frontier Silicon can tell us that perhaps they limited the chips at 21 megahertz. They can, I think, increase it, but they didn't found any interest in this. I am a shortwave listener when I was 6 years old. Now I am 53, and in my life I have heard on this band quite in short period BBC and Radio France broadcasting with, I think, a power of 200 kilowatt. So this band is intended for long range because it is shortwave. But really, no one is using it. I have demonstrated. And perhaps the broadcaster can tell you, yes, we are interested in using in long range or not. So we want to try to revert this approach and try to use this portion of a spectrum that it is huge and very important. I'm very scared because here it is plenty of people who manage with frequency, and I am very scared to say something that can make it jump from the chairs, but it is not. We have to find, I think, the way to use the resources that it is not now used. Well, in any case, I think that there is also Mr. Geoff that perhaps will speak more about this. I will only try to make some suggestion and tell you why we have this idea. Just to make an example, I am an Italian, and in Italy, sometimes we ask each other, Italy is the southern part of Europe or the northern part of Africa? Sometimes we have to ask this. It depends from the perspective you watch. So I would say, is 26 megahertz the highest part of shortwave or the lowest part of VHF? It could be also a smiling question, but not too much, because if you consider, and it is quite, only 5 megahertz more could be VHF. So the behavior is also in between shortwave and VHF. But if we consider VHF, We can use it like VHF, so for local coverage, local uses, like band 1 and band 2. Also in band 1, you know that, of course, it is more unlikely that you have sky wave propagation or sporadic propagation, but you have it. I remember when I was young, tuning the knob of my TV station, I could receive Lithuanian, Russian, or Hispanic station on band 1. So the basic idea is to use the 26 megahertz as a local coverage band. Now I have to go, of course, with the benefits, because if there are benefits, just leave it like it is. So let's go quickly through the presentation. You can read it. What is important is this. You can have 43 channels on a basis of a 10 kilohertz spacing. The benefits: a new market for the chip manufacturers, a new market for a consumer receiver manufacturer, transmitter manufacturer, antenna manufacturer, system integrators, who build and lease sites for the consultants. OP is enough to open this band. Of course, who is regulating this band on the international way could be have something to say against, because, well, but sometimes when there is the maximum of solar activity, you can transmit here and you can go till 700 kilometers, etc. What is the key issue to solve this kind of problem? Well, DRM is a digital, has a high robustness, and so the ranges are typically that in analog, to have an acceptable quality, you need to have a margin of 30, 40 dB. In digital, DRM or whatever, digital standard, you can go in the ranges of 10 dB. So it is a great advantage, and this can allow to use this band even when there is solar activity, and so there will be also sky wave propagation. Of course, there are people, technicians, very skilled. One, I don't know if he is here or will come, Pablo Anguera.
He's coming.
And he's within Thomas Lauterbach and many other in the world has made many study of propagation, and so can tell you what you can do in certain period of time when you put a transmitter. But I will not talk about this. It is written, you can find it on the CD. And in any case, the full document and our full proposal was submitted to ITU, and I think it could be the argument of Geoff. Or Lindsay can tell you better. So, quickly, a study could tell you that if we put a transmitter in Germany, in the green area, we can reuse whatever frequency in 26 megahertz if they have the ratio one together with the other. And remember that DRM and many other digital standards could have SFN, so you can reuse the same frequency very near, and the signal can cooperate on the receiver. This is another big advantage to use this against analog. In analog, this band, in my opinion, doesn't make sense. These are the good news. Unfortunately, the bad news are that in some period of the time, you can have interference very far, the pink zone. I go very quickly because this is a regulatory scenario. We have made some regulatory scenario. At the end, we get into quite the same conclusion that this band is not fish, is not meat, and this is another way why we don't use it. Or we wrong approach. We use it only eventually for long range. If we change, we use for local range, what's happened? Could happen a different situation depending on the solar cycle. But this doesn't mean that you cannot broadcast. I've shown you that if you put a 100 transmitter around here, you can cover all Geneva and with a good local coverage. What can happen? That in some period of the year, some other signal can come from far, okay? But as we tell you, digital is more robust. They will destroy analog signal, but not the digital signal until you don't have a ratio of minus 10 dB. But this also happened in medium wave during the night. This doesn't mean that you don't use medium wave, okay? You are used that in medium wave, during the day you have a certain coverage, and in the night you have a different coverage and interference. So this could happen also in the solar cycle, 11 years. In some part of 11 years you can have, like you have in day and night. So the principle is to accept this. Who will broadcast in this band can accept that in a certain period the area will be lowered. The second principle to allow a local regulatory way of this band is to limit the power, the ERP power. It's so self-explanatory that I don't tell. One will say 1 watt, the other will say 1 kilowatt, the other will say 7 watt, I don't know, a certain amount. Not too much, not too low, because if it is too low, you have to put so many transmitters that it is not economic viable. So our idea that we proposed was something like 1 meter, 10 meter, 100 meter. So we proposed in the range of 100 watt RMS ERP. Okay? So the basic idea is propose to use the 26 megahertz on a local basis. Regulator like in VHF, so everyone locally will regulate inside. Everyone in the world has not to exceed this maximum power. Of course, on the border, like in VHF, there is a need of cooperation between the two different status nations. Well, this is the basic concept. You can have all the document full and also the proposal to ITU. Now, if I was sufficient confused, I wait for your questions.
Claudio, thank you very much. That's the opportunity for people who have heard about 26 mega and or have doubts about it to ask questions. Anyone? Mike?
Yeah. Not being an expert in this particular matter, it has always occurred to me that 26 megs, the antennas are not going to be seriously big, like a shortwave or a medium wave antenna. What is the scope for making such an antenna that will inhibit its skywave radiation to try to reduce the problem?
Thank you for the question. It's a very good question. There was a discussion at the first time. Someone put on the document a chapter where to say how to limit the 0 degree radiation. 0 degree radiation when you have a local is your area. So first you cannot limit. But even if you have to limit and you see how many elements you have to put one to the other to have a reasonable result, you need two Rayfell, okay? So this practically was avoided. So ERP doesn't matter the angle you broadcast, because if you are local and low, your area is all practically on the horizon. So limit only the maximum ERP. But don't think that you can put, because if not, it is not economically viable. Okay.
Any other questions on the 26 mega or related subjects? RDS, yes?
What is the experience in using the 26 megahertz band for car reception? And what kind of antenna do you need for this?
Okay, that's another good question. For car reception can be used active antenna. So the same you use for FM or for DB, etc., with an amplifier. We have done this. There are some on the field, but if you see, they cut at 15 megahertz. Okay, so be careful. Just measure it first. But it is it can be done. We have made, with the help of DGDIA and others, an experiment in our country, in Andrate, and we had a very good result. You know how much is crowded the situation in Italy, and with a fifth of the power that we use on the same place in FM, we have three times the coverage. Of course, no interference, no at all. So we are comparing two different things. Don't think that you can do always in this way. But in our situation, is a huge amount. With 100 watt, we cover what we three times what we do with 500 watt in the situation crowded of FM in Italy.
Any more questions? Well, now you know Claudio, and if you have any more questions, you'll be able to talk to him at great length. Thank you very much, Claudio. And we have a little bit of a change of plan because we have spoken about DRM30 and we have touched a bit on DRM plus, the up 30 to 174 megahertz. And we wanted to bring you another case. This was a trial which was done in Paris in band 1 on DRM plus, and we will bring it to you. It will be a multi-platform, audio-visual show after lunch. We thought it would be good to have something after lunch so you are not too tired and too drowsy and too bored. And but we will go into the DRM plus at this moment, because I mentioned early in the morning that DRM Plus, an extension of our standard, was ETSified, was accepted by ETSI on the 30th of August. And we announced that at IBC in Amsterdam. And during the summer, the technical committee and other people in the consortium also worked on DRM profiles. In other words, what it would take to put DRM Plus into a receiver and what kind of levels you can go, what is a minimum specification, what is more. And we thought that would be interesting for you to follow our process, our thought process, and also to get acquainted with the DRM Plus profiles. And we have invited another member of our consortium, Andrew Flynn from Christian Vision, because he was part of the group. So he will give you this presentation now, and I hope you will enjoy that. So we can have for the morning sort of a look at both DRM 30, 26 mega, and a bit of the DRM plus. So we have a good preparation for questions and answers. Andrew.
Okay, good morning, everyone. I'm actually quite glad to be presenting this now instead of after lunch, because after lunch is always called the graveyard slot. You'll have an exciting film instead. And I have been thinking over the last couple of days, I will need to tell them a joke to keep them awake. And I couldn't think of one, so I'm just very glad to be presenting now.
So you'll be moved before lunch?
Yeah. So I just have to find my presentation on the system while it is.
So do you have a joke?
No. Oh, great, thank you. Okay, well, the DRM receiver profiles, as Ruxandra said, were announced at IBC in September, and it's a four-page document which you can find on the DRM website. Some of you are probably familiar with this already. And I will explain in this presentation what the profiles are and what they are intended to achieve. And I will explain the process which we undertook to develop the profiles as well. So why do we need to have DRM receiver profiles? Well, they define the minimum functionality which can be expected in a DRM receiver. Without guidelines like these, a receiver manufacturer doesn't really know what it is they need to do other than to look at the technical standard to implement a receiver, and so the profiles are intended to build confidence, not just for manufacturers, but actually for all of the stakeholders in the industry, concerned with digital radio. That is for broadcasters, because the profiles will determine the features available on receivers, and they will then know with confidence that they can broadcast such features in DRM and that they will be featured on the receivers that their audiences have. Manufacturers will have the confidence to know that broadcasters are implementing these services. They are not just implementing them into a receiver in a vacuum. For consumers as well, it gives a mark of confidence to them that the receivers are fit for purpose and their expectations can be met. And for regulators, such as the EBU and the national administrations, it helps to understand DRM in the context of other digital radio systems, and it harmonises the various systems together. So, as we heard earlier, they're complementary with one another, and it helps the regulators then to develop strategies for digital radio. Okay, the DRM system specification, the ETSI standard 201980, is the bedrock of the DRM system, and this describes technically the DRM system, DRM 30 and DRM Plus. This is standardized in ETSI and in the ITU. Then we have an internal living document within DRM called the Minimum Receiver Requirements, and these are the technical specifications expected in a receiver. It deals with things like the sensitivity, the tuning, the audio codecs, and the technical functionality in order for a receiver to be fit for purpose. But on top of that, we have then developed two DRM receiver profiles, which comprise mandatory features and recommended features. And these have been developed in two profiles, for a standard receiver and for a rich media or multimedia receiver. So what was the process? Well, a working group was established earlier in the year with terms of reference, and stakeholders in all parts of the broadcasting industry were consulted regarding the receiver profiles and which features should be included in the two profiles. A working group then evaluated these and made recommendations, which were approved by the DRM Steering Board. And as I mentioned, at IBC, the profiles were released and announced to the world. So what were our terms of reference? Well, we wanted to establish a basic receiver, which is simply a digital radio capable of receiving DRM, particularly the audio features and also some of the other applications available, and particularly targeting the cheaper part of the market. And then an advanced receiver, which is featured by multimedia features, especially of the type which Ben described earlier on. We wanted to minimize the number of options to make it simple for manufacturers to understand the various functions, and I will explain that a little later. We only considered DRM. We didn't delve into other digital radio systems because this is really none of our business, but we wanted to know what a DRM receiver should feature. There's consistency with the minimum receiver requirements, so all of the features described in the profiles can be achieved technically. And we've also considered local and regional variations, the fact that in different parts of the world, different character sets are used. There are different parts of the spectrum used, and so on. And we haven't separated DRM 30 or DRM Plus. We've just considered DRM as one system. A short while ago, DAB released some receiver profiles, and we wanted consistency between the DRM and DAB profiles, and in fact, they're not in conflict at all. There is some very good harmony between the profiles. They follow the same structure, so receiver manufacturers will already be familiar with the DRM, the DAB profiles, and will know how to implement these features quite simply. So down to the details. In terms of spectrum, we wanted the widest possible range of bands to be available on the receivers in both profiles. So we have mandated that medium wave, short wave, and the FM bands should be receivable on both types of receiver. but we recognize there are some regional variations in spectrum use in different parts of the world. The bands aren't always consistent. So where there is a regional variation in the use of spectrum, we've also mandated that a DRM receiver should take this into account and should feature tuning for the necessary regional bands. But we recommend overall that all bands below 174 megahertz can be received on all types of DRM receiver. We also mandated that all types of channel decoding should be possible. We heard earlier about half channels, full channels, and double channels. And it's actually easy to receive all of these types of channels without adding extra complexity to the receiver, so there was no reason that a receiver should distinguish between any types of channel decoding. Deliberately, we haven't mentioned audio codecs. We think this is a market issue, and it's not necessary to specify which of the codecs should be featured in a receiver. But we have said, in terms of stereo and surround sound, that if stereo is provided on a receiver through the headphone jack or through stereo speakers, then stereo must be decodable on both types of receiver. And in the case of surround sound, we recommend this in the multimedia profile. The emergency warning alert feature, we think, is a mandatory feature for both types of receiver. This is particularly useful where there are disasters and emergencies, and state broadcasters, other public service broadcasters are wanting to get out announcements to the widest possible audience. We think this should be mandated on all types of DRM receiver. The text services, station name is displayed on both types of receiver, and the text message, the basic text message of 164 characters, can be displayed on both types of receiver. The richer text services, for example, Journaline, we recommend for the basic receiver, but for the rich media receiver, we have mandated this service. And as I mentioned, regional character sets vary. We don't think that all of the world's character sets should be featured on all types of receiver, because this adds cost and complexity to the receivers. But where it's appropriate, we think a regional character set should be featured on the receivers in that market. The electronic program guide presentation we have recommended for the basic receiver, mandated for the rich media receiver, and we recommend advanced EPG decoding on the multimedia receiver. Continuing with data applications and other value-adding features, slideshow presentation is simple to implement, so we have mandated this in the rich media radio receiver, but haven't mentioned it at all for the basic receiver, because it's unlikely to have a colour screen. Traffic and travel announcements for TPEG and TMC, we recommend in both profiles. And then service following, this is the ability to switch between alternative DRM signals for the same station or other services from DRM to analog, if the same service is presented in analog through AM or through FM, and to other digital systems. With the DRM to analog service following, AMSS is an analog equivalent to RDS for FM, where service information is contained in the analog broadcast. And for FM RDS, alternative frequency information for the analog broadcasts are presented there. So it's easy to signal to these types of service, to signal that these types of service are available in a DRM transmission, and they can switch to analog if necessary. And DRM to other digital systems is featured, we highly recommend as well, and this may be DAB or some other type of digital radio system. I think in a ideal receiver, there are multiple standards featured, and the receiver will switch seamlessly between various digital systems without the consumer knowing, and we would encourage such a thing in a receiver. Okay, so in summary then, We have profile one, the standard radio receiver, the basic receiver, and this is a digital receiver which has a simple alphanumeric display, which can display the station label and some basic text information. And this is essential, the essential radio for receiving the DRM audio services, and it's particularly targeting the low price market. And secondly, profile two, the rich media radio receiver. Typically, this will have a color screen and therefore has the ability to feature rich media applications that would use a color screen. So there's the possibility of enhanced multimedia features and a better consumer experience with such a receiver. Mandatory and recommended features are included for both profiles. Of course, a manufacturer is quite free to choose to ignore the profiles altogether and make something that they wish to make, and that may well be appropriate in some markets. But the whole point of establishing the profiles was to give confidence that the receiver is fit for purpose, that it contains the necessary technical quality and the various features that a broadcaster might wish to implement and a consumer might wish to receive. So it gives a baseline for manufacturers to establish such confidence. We then encourage manufacturers to differentiate their products by taking the profiles and then selecting between various features and perhaps adding other features, which we haven't included in the profiles, to differentiate their product. We've said nothing about the technical quality of a receiver in the profiles. We've said nothing about the shape, the style, the price, what it looks like. These are all subject to the choices made by the manufacturer according to the market needs. But we do feel that the profiles give a baseline for confidence to the industry. And that is the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Andrew, thank you very much. So these are the profiles. Consortium cannot produce receivers, but can assist up to the point where the business case and the manufacturers want to enter the DRM receiver production challenge. We have two questions already. Three. Okay, RDS.
Just an observation. That is, these profiles, they are optimized for portable receiver, kitchen radio or bathroom radio, something like that. But let's say to be successful on the market, I think it is necessary to put some work into adapting the profile to car radio. I think car radio is very, very important because the difficulty that car radio is integrated into the dashboard of the car, cannot be changed, and has to work with a similar interface for all the services that can be received. For example, in RDS, what is the strongest feature in the car radio? TPTA. I can listen to my CD, and it is being interrupted. Traffic announcement, be careful, drive slowly. There is an accident 3 kilometers in front of this motorway. Back to your music, your own program. I think these are basic things that exist since ages now. The people are used to this. I think if you want to market the system successfully, you have to take these simple things into account.
Yeah, that's a very valid point. I would say that we have respected the issues regarding car radios. While constructing the profiles, they've deliberately been minimized to maximize the possibilities for a manufacturer to choose this. So where a radio is designed for a car, by building on the ETSI standards for the various features to be implemented in the car, it will automatically pay respect to those various safety features and so on in the radio.
Two more questions. I have a simple question. You mentioned that the receivers should be DRM only. I imagine that this is DRM plus analog?
No, I'm sorry if I have been misunderstood. The radios are not DRM only. I was simply saying that we only thought about the DRM issues for a radio. So they're certainly not DRM only, and we would encourage reception of analog services and other digital systems on the radio as well. But we cannot mandate this, and we would be limiting our market if we did this. But we want to promote a harmonized radio environment for digital radio especially, and we hope that DRM will be included in that. But please understand, these are not DRM-only radios.
These are the DRM. We want it to be able to fit with as many other standards. If somebody wants to do a global radio with all the possible digital and FM, analog standards, fine. But if they are looking at the DRM challenge, we have the profiles. We can't tell a manufacturer what to do if they want to put DAB, HD, FM in their receiver. That's not the task of the consortium. We are promoting our standard, but we are aware of the environment. So this is why, for example, the DAB, DMB profiles are very similar to ours. So if a manufacturer looks at both, they say, oh God, I have to do this for DRM and this for DAB. No, they fit together, but we can't mandate for another standard. I hope that's quite clear. So we worked on our standard and try to encourage the industry to take this bit and then do with it whatever they want.
Okay, Paweł Matia, Polish Radio. Is the profile one taking care of long wave?
Yeah, we haven't mentioned long wave at all in the profile. We think this is really discretionary on the part of the manufacturer, depending upon the market in which it is going to operate. But we do recommend that all broadcasting bands are implemented, and we've mandated that all regional bands are included in the receiver. So we are neutral, I suppose, on that point, but we have left open the opportunity for long wave where it is used.
It's not completely right. We mentioned long wave as mandatory regionally, especially in Poland or in Germany. It's mandatory as it is standardized, long wave. And in the document, you will find a footnote about long wave. So it's quite important. But we cannot make it mandatory for the rest of the world, as long wave is only in several regions important.
Yeah, it's really, really just to say that's the case, because within the European broadcasting region, then long wave is used and long wave is mandated, as Jochen said. But it's not mandated in region 2 or region 3, because those frequencies aren't used, and we don't want to add cost if it's not necessary. It may be that all the receivers will have it, because it's cheaper to make a receiver, you know, for one global market, but it may not be.
Even though I spent 90% of my time working with DAB, I realize there are areas in the world where DAB does not exist and will probably never exist, because it may be too expensive. So this profile has a life on its own. But then on the other hand, could there be such a thing as an extension to the DAB receiver profiles where DRM is included? Because if you talk to companies like Pure, they will almost deny that there is such a thing as DRM.
Well, we can't talk for Pure. I mean, what we have created is something that dovetails, it goes together. I could go back with a question to you and say, who should integrate whom? Of course, ideally, they should be presented as one single document, but they are so similar that it is almost a copy and paste exercise. So let's not go into politics and who integrates whom. They are there, they can be used by any manufacturer that wants to do it. We have, and I won't hide this, we were slightly disappointed when the DAB profiles were published, but at the end of the day, they were looking at the DAB profile and they were not looking at DRM. And so when we made our own profiles, we were not looking at DAB or FM or anything else. We concentrated on what we do. I think at the end of the day, going into is this standard or that standard is not helping digital radio overall. I think we have to militate for a global receiver and for that combination that is best for a territory and an administration. I don't think it's a battle of standards, because it's not a battle of the giants yet. It's a battle of pygmies. So,
just want to comment that that actually, as far as I know, it was discussed within the DMB consortium that maybe the DRM should also be included. And I was also very disappointed when there was no such thing, basically.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can comment on this because I was a member of both the World DMB Receiver Profiles Task Force and also in the DRM Profiles Task Force. And at the end of the day, it is my belief that each organisation has to work on their own profile. So yes, it was discussed. There was a lot of discussion. The World DMB ones came first. Whether we should include other technologies. But the difficulty is, as soon as you start to include one other technology, somebody will come along and say, oh, yeah, but in our country, we want to be able to use, the Japanese ISDBT radio system and DAB together. So we should include that in the profiles. And somebody else will say, oh, but we want HD with it, or with somebody else DRM, somebody else mobile phone, somebody else. And you get to something which is no longer a workable profile because it has options. And the really, really key thing about the profiles was to try to make as much that was mentioned mandatory as possible, because that way everybody knows on the broadcaster side, you know, if you do it, the majority of the receivers will be able to decode it, and on the receiver side, you know that most of the broadcasters are going to be doing stuff which is useful, and what you do on top of that then differentiates your product. But at least you know that everybody else is going to be doing that, and so that's why we keep it simple. So yes, sure, there was discussion. But the politics and the different standards used in different parts of the world mean that you can't be sure which things will go together. And it might change through time. But hopefully the profiles pretty much will stay the same, because the technology is going to stay the same. We're not going to invent new modes or, you know, new ways. There might be more applications that come along on the top, but the core stays the same. So you know, that's why it's ended up that we have them. But they are very much parallel. And if you read them, sometimes you'll have to look to the top, to the front page, to see which document you're reading, because they fit together very, very clearly.
We have two more questions or comments.
A question and something for my clarification. The standard profile for DRM reception, does that include band 1? Which is a broadcasting band in...
In answer to that, yes, if it's a broadcasting band in that country, then it's mandatory, yes.
Same situation as...
Yes, okay. Just to comment also on the profile work, because I was also representing EBU inside the World DMB Profile Task Force. And we have done a process also where we asked our members, and I must say that we didn't have so much feedback on DRM at this time. But there are many members still interested by DRM. And I would welcome, so when I hear you, Danish Radio, and to also participate and give your feedback and be present by showing your interest in DRM. Because in this task force, especially, as you know, there was the industry on the other side, and the industry won't implement something if they don't see the service. But I won't go too much into this debate. Another comment is this profile work you have done, I think, is really excellent, because it's completely aligned with the DAB profiles, and we reach this harmonization. And if I can comment, we are doing the same profiling work now inside IMDA, which is Internet Media Device Alliance, an alliance focusing on internet radio, so that also the same application services are compatible amongst the three platforms, so DRM platform, DAB platform, and internet platform. Because we believe that for the broadcasters, it's important to have the same screen size, the same services to make the content, to make it available. But also we expect that for the industry, if they develop the middleware application, they can do it once, and then we have more chance of having a multi-standard receiver in the future. So it's very well aligned. Just a comment on the traffic and travel information on TPEG and TMC. I'm not sure it's mentioned at the moment in your standards in DRM and DRM Plus. And maybe you should here contact TISA, which is this Traveler Information Service Association, maintaining TPEG standard. And TISA should also consider transport of TPEG data over DRM, DRM Plus, because there is nothing at the moment. They don't speak of it. And I'm sure they would be happy to include also the transport of TPEG data over DRM, DRM Plus. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think that's a very, very useful suggestion, Matthias. And just on, I mean, really echoing Andrew, this is a guideline and a help to manufacturers, but at the end of the day, the manufacturer will decide exactly what they want to do and whether they want to respect this or not. This is not the law. This is not something that if you deviate, there will be a DRM court of justice that will bring you and say, why did you not put EPG when it is mandatory? So I think it's in the spirit of harmonization that we have to look at these profiles and promote them. And also clarification. I think this is quite clear what this system really does and can do in a simpler mode and a more complicated mode. It's not more than that. Okay?
Thank you. And I just remind you that you can download the profiles from the DRM website.
Okay. Any burning question apart from what's on the menu before we close the morning session?
I have one.
Okay. Walid.
Yes, thank you. The owner of this phone could come and take it because it was found on the desk of the assistant. Thank you.
And it is not DRM capable yet.
Okay, so please pick up the phone. And from us, just one little thing. You might have found a little leaflet on the table this morning. Fanny put it for everyone. This is an executive summary of what is called the Broadcaster User Manual. You might have thought, what's this? It is the beginning of what DRM Consortium has always had. It's called it the manual for the broadcasters who want to introduce DRM. And this manual, with the extension to 174 megahertz, really needs revising. And we are in the process of revising and reissuing this manual, which has a lot of the details, a lot of the information you heard this morning. Just to whet your appetite, we've given you a starter, a little bit of it, which is this executive summary. This will be in the document itself. It will be available online, and it will also be available in hard copy. Some of you are members of the consortium, and you have the right to receive this manual. For the others, I hope it's an incentive to join us. If you are really, really interested, write to us, and maybe you will be able to have it as well. I think you'll get all the information from all these experts present it in a very factual, simple way in the manual. So let us know, send us an email, send an email to the project office of the DRM Consortium. And I know, hard sell, and join us. Join us as members, as associate members, work with us. And with that, I think we are going for lunch.
I will indicate how to do. Yes, to go for lunch, you just go upstairs, go to the right, you have a lift just after the door, and you go to the highest level called Attic, and then you go to left when you get out of the lift, and you will see that there are tables prepared, and you will not miss it, definitely. And please be aware that we will resume at 2:15. Please. Okay, and bon appétit. Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Jens.
Hi. Hi.
I have an update on my presentation. Can we?
Yes, I will. I will. Copy.
We have a film about the DRM Plus test in France.
Oh.
And if you want to, I mean. Maybe we can meet at 2 and just run through what... I mean, maybe you can say a few things about what is happening in France, because it's very interesting.
I can do it.
Yeah.
Good.
To have overview what's going on in France.
Okay.
I can do it, but
it's
regarding
PDF.
The bad one...
Let's have a look
PDF
at it.
File.
It's PDF.
So you have to scroll
you have
down.
To scroll down.
So how do
we... So who is dealing with band one trial? You, Alexander?
Well...
Yes, I didn't follow anything. I'm not aware of
the band one trial. You said there is a video, no?
There is a video.
And can
but
you,
it's
can
very
you, can you
played. It's here.
And can you say some words?
Yeah. But
okay, so these are the...
But this is a bit technical. You have to talk about this. I can't.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, you can go over this quickly.
It's typically French.
Okay.
Experimentation in dark. PS querying.
Is this about the test?
If you look into the car radios made by the big companies, integrated a dashboard, I mean,
that's good. No, that's good.
The Mercedes, BMW, and so on. You will notice
red
that
and
there is
room
the avoidance of complexity. They try to do that. Not so many keys and
sure.
Okay, I mean, if you have a LCD and so on, and you have touch keys and so on, but they are big. Must be, you must be able to use them while you drive, you know.
Yeah, sure.
They must not distract.
Yeah.
You know? And then there is, one feature we invented recently at RDS, which we find is a very small feature, but very good for the car, and you don't use it. And this is called Regatec Plus. This is good for the EV and also for the RDS.
C'est toujours difficile de dire des choses sur quelque chose. En plus, il défend l'intérêt des petites radios. Donc, c'est
il défend l'intérêt
des radios associatives. C'est un syndicat national pour les radios libres. C'est,
oui.
Donc, parler en son nom, c'est toujours difficile. On ne partage pas forcément les mêmes.